everybody. Thank you very much for being here. As you may have heard, I recently returned from a very successful trade mission to Israel. With us were state government officials, representatives from our universities, from Maryland business community, as well as some of the top leaders of Maryland's Jewish community. And we had a chance to highlight Maryland's unique assets for global biotech, cybersecurity, defense, and health companies. We had productive meetings with executives from a number of Israeli companies, several of whom have already announced that they will be moving operations to Maryland or will be expanding their operations here in the state. We also executed an MOU between UMBC and Tel Aviv University, creating a framework for the joint development of research and the exchange of both academic staff and students. We negotiated another MOU between the University of Maryland, Baltimore, and Hebrew University of Jerusalem, which extends and broadens their already successful partnership. And we signed the first ever sister state relationship in Israel. It was with the Negev region, which is Israel's cyber hub, something that we have in common here in Maryland as the cyber capital of America. And in addition to the successful economic development mission and the issues I just mentioned, we really did have a chance to immerse ourselves in Israel's rich culture and history, met some incredible people. And I got the chance to say a prayer at the Western Wall and to visit many of the holy sites. It was also my honor to be able to plant a tree in honor of and in the name of Governor Marvin Mandel, who was Maryland's first and only Jewish governor. And he really did transform Maryland government. So happy to be back in town, ready to get some work done. And you may have heard, day before yesterday, I also, after a year and a half, finished my final chemotherapy treatment. So now I'd like to turn the floor over to my colleagues. Mr. Comptroller, anything for the good of the cause?
Well, I saw Governor Mandel up there in the portrait. He had a smile on his face, and thank you for recognizing him in Israel, and thank you for that great trip you made. And I can report from my travels around the state of Maryland that the citizens of this great state could not be more delighted in your clean bill of health. They are... really have your back there, Governor Hogan, and I hear that from every nook and cranny of the state. And boy, is that good news. I also, if I could, would like to just mention one other tiny little bit of good news, but it's important to my agency. We are going to receive the New Analytics 50 Award from Drexel University and CIO.com. These are very important and prestigious national awards. This one is particularly concerned with government or corporate institutions that use analytics to solve complex problems facing their industries. Please forgive me. I am not the person in charge of the analytics of the comptroller's office, but I am very, very proud of our staff. The judges nationally chose our office, Governor, your office, the comptroller of the state of Maryland, and gave us this award for, quote, innovative use of analytics to create and deliver business value, end quote. The analytic model we're being honored for helped my agency detect fraudulent returns filed by 61 private tax preparers at 68 locations throughout the state. I continue to be proud of my office's aggressive efforts to combat tax fraud and identity theft, and for utilizing technology to prevent criminals from defrauding the people of the state of Maryland. I'd like to thank the dedicated men and women of my questionable returns detection team and all of my superb employees who deliver first-class service to Maryland taxpayers. And additionally, just in closing, as part of our continued efforts to serve the taxpayers with respect, responsiveness, and results. My office is hosting two job fairs in Baltimore City to fill vacancies in our customer service divisions and other agency positions. The job fairs will be held on Wednesday, October 26th at the C.C. Jackson Recreation Center and Tuesday, November 15th at the Old American Brewery Building in Baltimore City from 6 to 8 p.m. Governor, thank you very much.
Hey, congratulations to the comptroller on the kids.
Madam Treasurer, great to have you
this
morning.
Thank you, Governor. It's
navigated
great.
The Beltway.
We navigated around a very serious accident on the Beltway and had the opportunity to go by Bowie State University in doing so, and that was a very good ride. I want hats off to the state troopers. I want to say, first of all, congratulations on your bill of health. That's terrific. There's a bipartisan great support for that. And on the wonderful trip to Israel. I'm so pleased you had the opportunity and to build on our partnership. A couple of things from the last week I would like to mention. One, I attended the 50th anniversary of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC, a great institution. If there is anyone in this room who hasn't visited UMBC, and I doubt that there is, UMBC is putting Maryland on the map. A great institution, great leadership, great students, and a very great celebration. I was pleased to be able to take part of it. Two other things, too bad about the Orioles, but it was a great game, and they did very well, and as we used to say in New York, there's always another year. And to mark the passing of a great fan of the Orioles, I don't know if anyone here worked with Jerry Aronin. It was some years ago now that she was the Deputy Secretary of Human Resources. And an example of a public servant who went way beyond any demands of office in helping shape that department into a new and modern department, went on to do great things, graduate of the University of Maryland School of Social Work, and will be missed tremendously for her leadership, her great laugh, great sense of humor, and dedication to the people. I've been asked a few times in the last several days about Wells Fargo, if I might mention that for a moment, and Maryland's relationship with Wells Fargo. As many of you know, between 2011 and 2015, Wells Fargo employees opened a couple million unauthorized bank and credit card accounts and took fees for those accounts without the owners, so-called owners of the accounts, knowing anything about it. The federal government got wind of it. They have enforced the laws against them, and Wells Fargo was fined over $100 million. And after going through all the accounts in Maryland, came down to about 520 accounts, and the holders of those accounts have been reimbursed by the company. Questions have been raised about our state's relationship with the bank because the states of California has gone on record saying that Wells Fargo is not going to be underwriting their debt or being used as a broker for the next year. I just want to tell you that Wells Fargo does not have that relationship with the state of Maryland, with our general fund. We do not use them as an underwriter. They are not underwriting our bonds at the moment, nor are they our brokers. We have agency banking accounts, which are being very carefully watched and audited, accounted for. We are not going to tell all the agencies of state government they can't do any banking in the next week. But when the accounts come up, when the contracts come up, obviously we want to have a relationship with good citizens. So we just wanted to make that clear.
Okay. With that, we'll get on with the Secretary's agenda. Madam Secretary, good morning.
Good morning, Governor. Good to see you, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have 12 items on the Secretary's agenda. I don't know if they're cheaper by the dozen, but there's 12 of them.
Well, if we could, I'd like to discuss items 6 and 7.
6 and 7 is the Environment Department. Is Terry Wilson here, or from the Environment Department? This is the wastewater treatment plant, Back River.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Waleed Safouri. I manage the Engineering and Capital Projects Program at MDE.
Yep. My understanding is that these items will provide for $9 million in state loans to Baltimore City and Baltimore County for some much-needed repairs and improvements to the city's Back River wastewater treatment plant. Is that correct?
Yes.
And it's located in Baltimore County.
Yes.
I believe that these improvements will help reduce the sewage backups and overflows into Back River and assist Baltimore City in meeting the terms of the consent decree with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to help protect public health and prevent water pollution. The project will also provide, I believe, a long-term solution to the infestation of midges that has plagued Baltimore County, neighborhoods, and businesses surrounding the plant. The county cannot continue to ignore this problem, which has gotten serious. Unfortunately, years of pollution flowing out of this plant into the river from the treatment plant has created the ideal breeding ground, apparently, for these midges. To give you a sense of the massive infestation, counts of 500 midge larvae per square foot is considered a nuisance level. And Baltimore County reportedly has levels 24 times higher than that, at 12,000 per square foot. And there are clouds of these pests that coat the hulls of boats and houses and businesses and trees and buildings. And they're a nuisance to residents and business owners. We've had hundreds and hundreds of complaints about this problem not being solved. So the funding that we're approving today, I believe, will help with the long-term problem, but and it'll help with the stopping future populations, but we won't do it till 2018. Is that correct? Can it be completed?
Yes. And in addition to this project, we also have the Enhanced Nutrient Removal Project in Back River that is currently under construction, and that should improve also the water quality that being discharged to the river. So in addition to this project, we have that project also going on.
Well, in addition, the Maryland Department of Agriculture has determined that a treatment plan of the affected area on Back River to eliminate the midge larvae can be accomplished at a cost of $1.2 million.
Yes.
And our administration officials reached out to the county executive of Baltimore County a week or so ago, offering the state's willingness to assist them with this problem. And we proposed entering into a cooperative agreement, the state agreeing to pay one half of the costs of this initiative. We haven't yet heard a response from Baltimore County, but it is our sincere hope that the county will join us in addressing this terrible problem in Baltimore County.
Yes.
So thank you for the effort. Any other questions on this or the Secretary?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought it to our attention, and I hope you get back to us. I didn't realize the extent of the midge problem, but I did read that raw sewage is regularly dumped into streams in Baltimore City, and they have a plan, 6-year plan.
Yes.
What is that all about? And what about down in the city where?
Well, actually, my program is not directly involved in this. We were involved in the corrective action that is being going on and preventing sewer overflow. We're also involved in this project, which will also assist in preventing the overflow and the enhanced nutrient removal, which will improve the water quality of being discharged by the river. Actually, I don't have good background on that issue.
Well, that's good. I didn't expect it. I just wanted to support the governor, because I've often said if you take better care of what we have, that's about 90% of what the public wants. And they don't like raw sewage. and they don't like, we're going to take care of it in 6 years, and it's just going to keep on doing it and keep on doing it and keep on doing it. So that's just, I totally support the governor's concern about the problem in Baltimore County, but raw sewage in 2016 going into streams of people go right through the city? Couldn't we do something faster than 6 years, maybe fix it?
Well, we're moving as fast as we can in the projects. I'm working with the county and Baltimore City. We're more involved and assist them in reaching that goal as fast as possible. Anytime they come for us for funding, we're there to help them. But the pace of the project, mostly under their control, whenever they need us for help, we're there to help them in terms of financial assistance.
Yesterday I was at Fort Hill High School in Allegheny County. It's built by the WPA under Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 1936. School looked, I know we're building a new one, but fabulously well maintained for a school that old.
Yes.
And, you know, they take care of it. And it's a mindset. And, Governor, thank you for bringing up the sewage thing. I didn't mean to jump on it. Certainly don't, you know, want to undercut that issue. I think it's very important. But how about the general issue of taking care of what we have?
Yes.
And, boy, that school, before they, whatever they're going to do with it, build a new one, get out there and take a look at it, because it's made me proud as an American to think that in the greatest depression ever, Marylanders were hired to build a school that is still in operation, and it is in better shape than a lot of the schools in my own area. Better maintained. So, you're good news. So, thank you very much
for delivering it.
And thank you, Governor, for educating me about the Midge problem and the consequences of not taking care of what we have.
Thank you. I see Bruce Barriano in the front row. He was there in 1936. So we welcome him.
Yeah.
I think he lobbied to get that school built. Are there any other questions on the Secretary's agenda? Is there a motion?
I'd just like to note for the record, if I could, Governor, that the Carroll County school thing is there. They are 11 and 12, and I hope that somebody puts something together up in that county that never repeats the kind of enrollment mistakes that generated that the situation that we are approving, and I hope it just doesn't happen ever again.
Well, I agree with that. We certainly did everything we could to try to help mitigate the problem, but we're not successful in convincing the county to work with us on it, but I think we're moving on at this point. So there's a motion, a second. Vote is 3-0 on the Secretary's agenda. Next, we're going to move on to the Department of Natural Resources. Good morning, the real property agenda. Morning, Mr. Secretary.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. For the record, I'm Mark Belton, the Secretary of the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, and we have 3 items on our real property agenda for your
vote. Oh, that's pretty small.
It is
three
indeed.
Items. What have you guys been doing? You usually have 20 items. Come on.
There's a good one coming next time.
Thank you.
Anybody have questions on the DNR agenda?
Move approval.
Move approval. Second. 3-0. Easy day today.
Easy.
We're going to move on to the DVM.
Good morning, Governor, Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. I'm David Brinkley, the Secretary of the Department of Budget and Management. The department has submitted 4 items for today's agenda. Item 2S has been revised to remove the award for the Western Region, and I have representatives here to address any concerns or questions that you might have.
Any questions on DVM?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0. We're rolling right through here. Next, we'll have the university system. Good morning.
Good morning. Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have 5 items on the agenda. If you would answer any questions.
Thank you for coming. Any questions on the university system? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Good day.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. We'll move on to information technology.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. For the record, I'm Luis Estrada, Deputy Secretary of the Department of IT. We have four items on our agenda today.
Very good. Information technology. Any questions? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0. How about that?
Thank you.
I think this is the way to run a meeting.
I love it.
Next, we're going to move on to the Department of Transportation. Good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, my name is Jim Forrest, Deputy Secretary for Maryland Department of Transportation. We must work twice as hard as DNR because we have a whopping six items to report today.
You know, I think it's like when the cat's away, the mice will play. I go to Israel. I guess they work on. I got to stay close to home.
I thought this was going to be a consent agenda.
Yeah, it could be. I'd just like for a moment to discuss item number six. I see Jim White is here, the director of the port. Maybe you come up and touch base on this item. Good morning.
Morning, Governor. Item number six has to do with our car business. In the last 2 years, we've had a 100-year storm, a 50-year storm, and two 25-year storms at Dundalk Marine Terminal, and that's caused some flooding issues with new cars. So in order to correct this, we're building vaults in the ground with pumps to get the water out of the marine terminal so we don't have any more damage to new vehicles.
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, this is I know this report is on an expedited procurement that we approved last August, and it's an innovative underground concrete vault system, I think, to take care of the flooding, not only the flooding, but the stormwater management and stop the runoff at the Port of Baltimore, and a project to protect the automobile import-export operations at the Dundalk Marine Terminal from flooding and causing runoff. We mentioned at the time when we were approving this, we kind of bragged about you and the port and the job you're doing, and that Maryland was indeed open for business, and the port was a perfect example of that. Talked about how fantastic the port has been doing as an economic engine for the state, and here we are a year later, and the most efficient port in the nation is still, I think, making incredible progress. Jim, I wanted to thank you and your team for all their great efforts. During the first half of this year, the port saw a 12% increase in containers, largest growth in containers among all mid-Atlantic ports from New York to Norfolk. And I know you welcomed the first supersized container ships to come through the newly expanded Panama Canal, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Sign of things to come. We signed new extensions with our two cruise lines, Royal Caribbean for 4 more years and Carnival for 2 more years. And these extensions guarantee continued year-round cruises from Baltimore to the Caribbean and the Bahamas. And the cruise industry generates $90 million in economic activity for the state. Last time we discussed the port and all the progress you were making, Helen Bentley was still with us. And, yeah, I got a chance to see Helen right before she passed. And we all know how much the Port of Baltimore meant to her and how much she meant to the Port of Baltimore. And I just like to think that somewhere she's up there looking down on us and smiling about all the progress that you're making at the port. So I want to say thank you very much for your efforts, Jim.
Thank you, Governor. You know, thank you as well. You know, this administration has given us opportunities in the port that we haven't seen before, open for business, working more cohesively with the Commerce Department. Mike Gill recently was very successful in getting Under Armour to put a distribution center here. That all helps us, and we're well positioned for the future in all commodities that we're chasing, particularly container growth. I think that we will outperform the Mid-Atlantic and East Coast at least for the next 6 to 7 years, at which time we may have some capacity problems, but we're working on that. Secretary Ron has given us lots of support. Anytime I've gone to him and introduced him to a port customer, a prospective customer, he's been there. He's been a tremendous help to us. So thank you all, Board of Public Works, for supporting our projects.
Well, thank you. Keep up the good work.
All
I worked with Mr. White when I was in the legislature. How are the forest products doing these days?
You were essential to us becoming the number one forest product terminal in the United States.
Wow. Well, nice to say that.
You gave us the support for the 300,000 square foot warehouse. Without you, that would not happen. Thank you tremendously for that.
Remember, you weren't very happy about it. But it's worked out, and I couldn't be happier, and I concur with the governor that a lot of this is due to, obviously, the private sector leadership that you have shown as the port director. But I wanted to make sure Mr. Ports, speaking of ports, Mr. Ports.
My favorite subject.
But thank you, and please give the secretary my compliments on him, recognizing the priority of this incredible economic engine that we have up there in the Port of Baltimore.
And Jim White, he doesn't like to brag, but we're number one in aluminum, number one in gypsum, number one in railroad, number one in automobiles, along with the forest products. Mm-hmm. And did I miss any?
Number ninth in the country overall for value.
There you go.
Yeah, we want to get that to number one also.
Pretty incredible. We're getting there.
Gives us something to shoot for.
We're working on it.
All right, thank you very much.
As long as we have the opportunity, could you put on your agenda at some point, coming back, talking to us about how the port, which is such an important driver of our economy, is dealing with and planning for the impact of climate change, particularly sea level rise and storm surges as they impact both the port itself and then commerce going in and out of the port.
For sure.
Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much, Jim. Any other questions on the Department of Transportation agenda?
Move approved.
Second. 3-0 on Department of Transportation. Mr. Ports.
Governor. Before we go, I see the senator sitting here, and I assume it was for the project that we unanimously approved earlier. But
Senator Salling, thank you very much for being here. Thanks for all your hard work and cooperation, and I assume you're going to help us convince the county executive to work on his Midge project.
We're
going to
try our best.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Now we're going to move on to the Department of General Services agenda. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I am Lee Williams, Deputy Secretary of General Services. The department has 8 items on the agenda, and we'll be pleased to answer any questions you have at this time.
Lee,
welcome.
Welcome. Happy to have you with us. I've got some questions about item 2. Is there anybody?
Kareen Davis.
Good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. I am Kareen Davis for the record, Manager of Procurement and Logistics, Department of General Services. I'll be happy to answer any of your questions.
Okay. So my understanding is this is a single bid contract.
It is a single bid.
For emergency generator maintenance services for some of our Annapolis and Crownsville offices.
That's correct.
I think you probably know, because we say it almost every time we have a meeting, we're not big fans of single bid contracts.
Understood.
And I understand that the department did try to, get more bidders. You put extra effort into soliciting more bids, but here we are once again presented with a single bid contract, and it's one of the comptroller's favorite subjects as well, and I think the treasurer also. So, is there something that we can do better about this, this contract in particular, or to contracting in general? Is there something that's deterring people from bidding on the contract, or what is this? What's the reason?
Well, we've allowed extra time to seek bids. We do second site visits. We do a lot of outreach. Some of the generators, they are older in age, and it is a big responsibility on the contractor to take forward with submitting a bid. Some contractors feel like they cannot be competitive. Going forward, we'll reach out to other agencies to see any other contractors they may have on their list. Just doing more outreach. I think that's the way moving forward.
Okay, so you guys are on top of the problem, and you're aware that, we just want more competition.
Absolutely.
Whatever we can do in your department and others.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much. Any other questions on this?
Yeah, I just might note, I obviously concur on the single bid, because if we don't take any action, then nothing ever really resonates down in the agencies, as far as I can tell. So I have a second concern, which is that the MBE requirement is dropping from 15% with the existing incumbent to just 5% in the new contract. That's a yellow light going off for me, and I assume the legislature, which has that as a big goal.
Yes, the MBE rate is lower. However, we've had feedback from some of the potential bidders that feel like they may have an issue with meeting the even lower MBE goal. And although we want to encourage MBE subcontractor participation, we do want that competition. And we sacrificed a bit of the MBE goal and was not able to encourage, get the additional competition, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's kind of significant, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean, we reduce the goal to get competition, and we end up with no competition. So I'm not clear why this item's before us. You're asking for, I guess, another item. You're asking for a six-month extension for a procurement that also failed to elicit competitive bids. Is that this one, the item five, I think? Same agenda? And I appreciate that because it kind of resolves this concern we have about single bids always getting approved by us with the same comment. We hope it doesn't happen in the future, and it keeps happening in the future. So item five is something that you had a lack of bid competition for, and apparently you're extending the incumbent for 6 months and reissuing an improved RFP. We're to get more competition. Why don't we do that with this?
This one here, the incumbent is Curtis, and the new bid that they submitted is actually less than the current contract pricing.
How many times have I heard that? You're getting a great deal. So, look, I don't want to pick on you, but I would suggest that item five is a good model for us because if, in fact, you are giving this to the incumbent, why don't we just give it to you for 6 months and ask you to go back and generate two competitive bids. And that's the proof positive that, in fact, we're getting a good deal. And I don't need to single you out, but I would move that this be extended for 6 months, and just like item five on the agenda, and we revisit this. Perhaps it's intractable. I'm not here to be unreasonable, but this issue, when you said that we're getting a good deal, I've heard that a lot. And I'm not saying it's not true. I just think we need to prove it.
Okay. In addition, if I may, we reviewed some of the recent contracts. A recent contract awarded 2015 February, also to Curtis. It's for generator maintenance at 25 locations across the state. This award was made in the amount of $518,000. That was in February 2015. This contract, which is a smaller contract, 17 locations, that total value is $283,560.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying this is a generic issue.
Okay.
And Governor brought it up, but I would suggest that we give it a six-month extension to the incumbent and ask that you figure out how to get some competition.
Okay.
Is there a motion?
I'd make that motion.
I'll second the motion.
Could I just ask, it looks like you did a great deal to try to reach out.
We did.
Assuming we do this, what else will you do?
I believe reaching out to any other agencies to
beyond the 46 bidders.
Any bidders that may have submitted a bid in previous solicitations, reaching out to them, asking them where they may have went wrong. We had a second bidder here. His MBE forms were not correct. We'll also reach out to that bidder and assist him with the MBE portion of his contract, direct him to our Office of Business Programs. And
is that an issue, do you think, that simply walking through the...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. That's a good suggestion.
Okay. And the one that stated they didn't have sufficient time, what was that about?
I'm not sure because the bid was actually posted for about 2 months.
Yeah.
And we extended because of the lack of competition had a second site visit. So we will definitely reach out to all of the potential bidders.
Well, if this proposal is doable from your perspective in terms of keeping the emergency generators maintained, which is the number one issue, I don't have a problem with it. But it does seem to me that you did a great deal, and it'll be interesting to see what more you could do.
Yeah, so I want to thank you for all your efforts and appreciate you addressing our questions today. There's a motion on the floor, which I've seconded.
Could I be clear about the motion? Is the motion to disapprove item two,
which is
the new contract with
them? I think we're substituting that for a six-month extension
of the existing contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're disapproving without prejudice. We're not saying rejecting this
one.
We're just saying,
Okay, all right.
We're six pulling that out for a separate motion. The motion's been made and seconded.
I don't agree with the motion.
Okay.
But it'll be interesting to see how
one. Okay. Motion sure. passes. Are there any other questions with the rest of the DGS agenda?
Approval.
Motion. Second. The vote is 3-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before we adjourn, I just want to point out in the back of the room, we have some friends here from Korea. KBS, the Korean Broadcasting System, is here. They're working on an hour-long documentary on the First Lady, who's the first Korean-American First Lady in the history of the United States.
Oh.
And they're going to be here with us for a week or so, following us around. So we're happy to have KBS. We want to thank them for being here. Thank all of you for joining us. And with that, this session of the Board of Public Works is hereby adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.